Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. This message was delivered from our pulpit in Shepton, PA. It is our prayer that it might inspire and encourage your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
In this particular session, sermon, we're going to look at what happens after the Great Tribulation. Remember, the tribulation period is the 7 years right before Jesus comes back. And there are some signs that He is right at the door, getting ready to return. Also going to look at the fig tree generation, which is a very important biblical sign that Jesus gives right before the end times. And also, there are at least four admonishments in these verses for us to be alert. So this is practical. The church needs to be alert. We need to be watching for what? The signs of the times. We don't know the date. We don't know the exact time, but we do know this. We do know that Jesus said there's a season. There is a precursor of signs. And that's what we're going to look at. And I want you to remember from last week that we talked about the fact that at the end of verse 13, he stops talking about the destruction of the temple that happened in 70 AD. So everything prior to verse 13 deals with the destruction of the temple. Jesus shifts gears in verses 14, and he begins to talk about the signs of the end. And one of the big signs that we talked about last week was the abomination of desolation, which is the Antichrist setting up his throne inside of the temple, the new temple that's going to be rebuilt. So from 14 on, it deals with the Great Tribulation. Now, we must remember as we go through this that Mark was written in about 67 A.D. When was the temple destroyed? 70 A.D. So this letter was 3 years prior to the temple. It would have been remarkable for the readers to have read this 3 years prior to the temple being destroyed. But look at verse 14. And this is how we know that from 14 on, it deals with the end times. It says, but when you see the abomination of desolation standing where it should not be, he says, let the reader understand. Interesting. Jesus wasn't talking to readers. He was talking to his four disciples. And now all of a sudden it's interjected that the person who really should be paying attention to these words are the readers. The Bible had enough foresight to know that what was being talked about was going to be for future generations. The readers. And by the way, everything that we're going to look at pretty much this morning, the people that really, really need to know this, the people that really need to hear this, are not us. The Bible talks about the church being taken away. Who this is really going to mean something to are the Jewish people that are left to go through the tribulation. As a matter of fact, I have a feeling that when they look at Mark and when they look at Matthew, they are going to be shocked. And it's going to be part of the reason why they're going to turn away from the Antichrist and the building of the temple and come to Jesus as the Messiah. Because what he says here is going to be so powerful for them that they're going to say Jesus was the Messiah. So what does Jesus say here that is going to be so remarkable for the Jewish readers during the tribulation? Well, Jesus begins to talk about what happens after the Great Tribulation. What happens after the 7 years. And here's what he says. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will be falling from the heavens, and the powers that are in the heavens will be shaken. Now, some people have said this is symbolism. This is a metaphor. When it talks about the moon, talks about the sun, talks about the stars, he's talking about deities, because sometimes deities refer to sun, moon, stars. I don't think so. What happens after the Great Tribulation is literally this. All of that that is written there, the moon doesn't give forth light. The stars begin to fall from the heavens. So if you ever ask yourself, how does this world end? I have the answer. The stars fall from the heavens. I have the answer. Hollywood was partially right. Meteorites hit the earth. Destroy the earth. That's why God has to recreate the earth and give a new heaven and a new earth. But here's why I know this is literal. Look what it says here. After this happens, then you will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and great glory. The reason I know that this sign in the heavens of the meteorites falling from the sky is because here's what it says in Luke. It says that there will be signs in the sun, signs in the moon, and in the stars. And listen, and upon the earth there will be great distress in the nations with perplexity. The seas and the waves will be roaring, and look at this. Men's hearts will fail them because of fear. Can you imagine being told by our government that there is a meteorite heading toward the earth that is going to wipe us all out, and we have about a month? Can you imagine? Can you imagine the panic? The Bible forecasts that what will happen is the stars will begin falling from the sky. You want a little preview? This is Hollywood's rendition of what it might look like. Won't be a fun day to be in New York City, or anywhere for that matter. And eventually, this. Let's not do it again. I backed it up there. So I backed it up because we're not there yet. But let me just say this. That is coming. Stars falling from the sky. Men's hearts falling them because of fear. When the Jewish people begin to read these letters and begin to recognize these signs, they are going to be very, very clear that Jesus is the Messiah. Because the other Messiah, the false Messiah, is going to be saying, peace, peace, everything is okay. There's going to be a clear distinction. What happens after this, when Jesus begins the return, here's what it says. Then he will send his angels and they will gather up the elect. The elect that it's speaking about here are the Jewish people that are here on the earth during the tribulation. He'll gather them from the four winds, from the ends of the earth, and from the ends of the heavens. There will be an end time gathering. But here's the sign I really want you to look at. This is Jesus' sign that is so important for us living in this day and age. Remember, Jesus wasn't big on the date or the time, but he was big on the signs. And here's the sign. Jesus says, now learn the parable from the fig tree. He talks about the fig tree. Does anybody remember what the fig tree represents? I mentioned this when Jesus cursed the fig tree right after Palm Sunday. Remember? He came to the fig tree. It was the only destructive miracle that he did. He destroyed a fig tree. But it was a metaphor of something else. He comes to the fig tree. There's no figs on it. Just leaves. And he curses it. But the Bible says that it wasn't even the season for figs. Doesn't Jesus know it's not the season for figs? He curses the tree because it doesn't bear fruit. This happened right after Jesus comes to Jerusalem. They yell, Hosanna, Hosanna, but there's no fruit. Remember what John's message was? Repent! For the kingdom of God is at hand. Bear fruit with your repentance. Jesus comes and all there really are leaves. Leaves are words. Hosanna, 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 but no repentance. Jesus curses the fig tree as if to say to the nation of Israel, listen, if you will not repent and receive me as your king, you're not going to have any kings. And they didn't. In 70 AD, Israel as a nation was wiped out. No more kings, no more anything. Until when? Until when? When did Israel become a nation again? 1948. For 2,000 years, Israel was not a nation. Look at what it says here, and I want you to read this and why so many Bible interpreters look at this sign here as being absolutely key before Jesus comes back. He says, so learn the lesson from the fig tree. Listen, when its branches have already become tender, notice the fig tree becomes tender. Notice that the fig tree begins to put forth leaves again. It's almost like Jesus curses the fig tree. He says, you're never going to have another king. Now all of a sudden, he says in the end times, they're coming back. The fig tree's coming back. And guess what? They're going to be tender. And guess what? They are going to begin bearing figs again. Listen, and then you know that the end is coming. Look at what he says here. When you begin to see this, know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, that is to say the fig tree, the nation of Israel, recognize that he is near right at the door. Truly I say to you, listen to what he says here. This generation, what generation? The fig tree generation. The new nation of Israel. Listen, it says they will not pass away until all these things take place. Why is that important to know? Because so many Bible scholars have said this. Listen, because Jesus in a way, puts a date on it. He says this generation is not going to pass away until these things come. And Bible scholars have said, whoa, wait. What is he talking about? This generation not passing away. And they begin to say, a lot of them say, he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. That's what he's talking about. And he's saying, he jumps from the end times back to the temple. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that because everything in the context is talking about the end being near. Jesus being right at the door. It's clearly talking about a generation that sees the end times. It's not talking about the destruction. So what needs to be interpreted here is when the fig tree begins to bud, that is to say Israel begins to bud, becomes tender again, then know this, that he is right at the door. This generation refers to the generation that is Israel. And let me just say this, and I'm not trying to put a timetable on it either, so it's interesting Jesus would even throw this out here, a generation. A biblical generation is 80 years. From the time Israel became a nation, 1948, technically you could say, if this is the correct interpretation, the fig tree becoming a nation again, because the fig tree represented Israel as a nation, you have 80 years from 1947. Is it possible we could be in the end times? It's possible. Israel is now a nation. The fig tree is back. When it becomes tender, know this, it's close. Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, and it will. That's why he has to create a new heaven and a new earth. He says, but my word will not pass away. Take it to the bank. So he says to his church, says to his people, be alert. Listen. But of that day, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Take heed, keep alert. You do not know when the appointed time is. Let me say this to you. Jesus didn't know the appointed time. They thought that when the temple was going to be destroyed, Jesus was going to take his throne. It was going to be the millennium. That's what they thought. The Jewish people had no real concept that Jesus would come twice, the second coming. Matter of fact, the Jewish people still don't think he's coming twice. They think he comes once. That's why they're going to be susceptible to the Antichrist. Listen. Jesus is saying to them, temple goes down, destroyed, comes back. Israel goes down, comes back. When the temple comes back and Israel comes back, then I'm coming back. The reason why he says no one knows the hour is because here's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. And he said it so many times to them. I don't do anything unless I see my Father in heaven doing it first. I don't say anything. And what Jesus is saying is, the only thing I know that the Father has told me is I'm going to die. He hasn't said to me anything about his second coming. He hasn't said anything to me about the restoration. All he's told me is that I'm going to die, suffer, die, resurrect. That's all he's told me. See, Jesus didn't need to know anything about his second coming. All he needed to know about was his plan of redemption. And I really believe that Jesus, in his humanity, didn't know. In his divinity, yes, he did. But he wasn't operating entirely out of his divinity. And this was removed from him. So we are told to be alert. No one knows except the Father. And that's still true today. We don't know. But then Jesus says this. He says, you know, it's a little like a man who goes away on a journey and he leaves his house. And by the way, let me just say this. This earth is his house. The church is his house. This all belongs to him. And here's what he does. He puts his slaves in charge. In a sense, we are his slaves. We are his servants. And he assigns each one of us a task. And he also commands the doorkeeper to stay alert. Let me just say this. The church isn't supposed to just be doing nothing, waiting for Jesus to come, being idle. What are we supposed to be doing? Our task. Do you know your task? It should be about your task.